help us through the middle of our storm. Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you would, this morning to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Today is Heritage Day, and normally we have a special speaker today. We've had our state representative, our former state representative, Matt Krause, has spoken many times, and we've had David Gibbs, a lawyer, to come and speak to us several times. And next year, Brother Matt Krause will be back with us to speak on this day. And so, but today you're stuck with me. Sorry. And but Heritage Day was one of the first special days that our church had when we established the church 21 years ago. It was, again, approximately around Thanksgiving, and so it was a way in which we could have a good meal together and fellowship together, not necessarily a turkey meal. We're going to have lots of turkey here in the next few weeks, and so we're going to have brisket today. I just thought I'd announce that right at the beginning of the service. I'm hungry. And it was a day in which we could have a special day and promote a special day in the storefront. We were meeting there in Lake Worth in the storefront at the time. And so our first big day ever as a church was called Heritage Day. On the front of the sign there at the storefront, one of the signs read, "An old-fashioned church of the 21st century." I still like that. I still like that thought that I really believe our church is one of those churches you could attend that you would you come to and you would enjoy. I pray that you do, but you would be a church like you attended 40 or 50 years ago, that you would see some similarities between our church service and a service you attended when you were a kid. And I still look back very fondly upon the church that I was in until I was 11 years old in Bowie, Texas, and a church about a little smaller than ours, but not much, and just enjoyed the thought of having the services and the hymns and music that's Christ-honoring, and stay away from the entertainment value and the entertainment section of Christianity today. And that's kind of where we are. And that's where we're going to stand. Amen. That's where we're going to stay there. We're going to stay right here. We're not going anywhere. We're not changing. I do enjoy some new hymns. I appreciate Brother Jonathan introducing a new hymn this morning. And certainly God has not stopped inspiring music. Amen. And so, but God's good. And so Heritage Day was kind of established, and we've had one every year since, to kind of remember our heritage. Not kind of, to remember our heritage. And so this morning we'll look at that. Ephesians chapter 1, look with me. We'll start reading in verse 15. "Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." Again, this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. He is praying for them that they would be enlightened, that they may see what they have, that they may see what they have in Christ, that they may understand the benefits that comes with knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. Look at verse 16. He says, "I cease not to give thanks of you, making mention of you in my prayers." Paul had a humongous prayer list. Verse 17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory." And I'm going to kind of just give you commentary as I walk down through here. I don't normally do that, but we'll do that today. But the God of glory, that is that God who manifests himself to us, that he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. I'm glad it's not earned. God gives it to us. Gives us that wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Verse 18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." Again, that opening our eyes. "That you may know what is the hope of his calling." That is how we are called to be more like Jesus Christ, to be more like the Lord. "And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." In other words, the benefits we have of being a Christian, what we inherited as Christians. We covered this a few weeks ago in the Gospel of John. The benefits we have in Christ are unexplainable to an extent, uncomprehensible. It's amazing what I received when I got saved. The list is too long if I went through it today. And what Paul's saying is here, I want the Holy Spirit, I want the Lord to give you understanding, to reveal to you, to unveil to you just how good you have it by being saved. That all the benefits that you have of being a Christian and knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, that all the benefits you inherited when you got saved. By the way, all the inheritance in the saints too, and we'll cover that in a moment. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? I'm thankful for that, who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, not just power, but his mighty power. Aren't you glad he works in us, amen, working in us and on us? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. All right, so the place of favor at the right hand of God where the God-man Jesus Christ sits, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Look at, again, verse 18, the end there, that he wants them to understand what the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise you and thank you for what we inherited when we received you as Savior. And Lord, we understand and know that you received something as well. God, may we make that very clear today. May we understand and know, increasingly know, the benefits we have in knowing you as our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Our heritage, America's heritage, is very important. It's important that history be taught to our children, that history be reminded to us as well. Our America, United States of America, was founded upon the Judeo-Christian ethics of the Bible, the morality of the Bible, the laws of the Bible. And no matter how many times the liberals like to discount it, they can try to brush it under the rug or do whatever they want to try to hide it. It's still true. Amen. You can go to Washington, D.C., and nearly every government building has a scripture on it. They can't. They'd have to go in and etch it all out. They'd have to go in and just totally obliterate many of those etchings that are in so many parts of the buildings of our great Washington, D.C. Listen. America was founded by our founding fathers upon Judeo-Christian beliefs, the Bible. And we've had David Gibbs come in and show us that. We've had Matt Krause come in and show us that. And we need to remember that our country is blessed of God because of that. Somebody said to me one time, said, why is it that America is so blessed? Why is it, you know, why was it that, you know, South America or Central America, why is it the United States so blessed? Well, it's because of the way in which it was founded. Amen. The foundation is what caused the blessings of America. God blessed America. Again, we see today a rejection in our society of the biblical moral standards in which America was founded upon. And we as Christians need to continue to stand there, never waver, never give up, keep on keeping on, and stand on the Bible. Again, I could spend a lot of time here, but we have in our land today the rejection outright of God by a large part of our society. They reject him because they do not want to be under his authority. They do not want to be subject to the standards that are found in the Bible. But listen, the blessings of God come from being subject unto him. Again, his love is I'm so thankful that his love is unconditional. I don't have to do anything to earn his love and favor. But if I want the blessings of God, then I have to follow and obey him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way, what? To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. We follow the standards, we follow the laws in which God has placed for us. By the way, and I know I say this too often maybe, but those laws and those do's and those don'ts in the Bible are not put there to just drag you down. God put them there to protect you. He has your best interests in mind. Just as we try to protect our kids and give them boundaries and rules, so has God given us boundaries and rules to protect us for our good. Teenagers, the rules your parents put in place are there for your good. You may not think it now sometimes, but they are there. Our Heavenly Father loves us and has put some standards in place to protect us because, again, he loves us. It's important that we as Christians remember our nation's heritage, and again, our founding fathers and what they founded our nation upon. The word heritage means what has been or can be inherited. To inherit or to receive by legacy, to receive by heredity, to inherit something. I inherited something when my grandparents died, my dad's mom and dad. I inherited something. I was blessed to have inherited something. Not because I earned it, but because I was a Crawford, I guess. I was the favorite grandkid, so. But I received an equal part, even though I was the favorite grandkid, I still received an equal part. We have received an inheritance when we accept Christ as our Savior. I'm so thankful. Not only should we remember again our Christian heritage, but I want to spend just a couple of minutes here on our Baptist heritage. I'm proud to be a Baptist. I'm thankful for the privilege of being a Baptist with a capital B. So on our sign out front, it doesn't say Heritage Baptist Church in little bitty letters down at the bottom. I know so many churches today, you know, they'll put their name up on there and then the Baptist Fellowship at the bottom, like maybe in tiny, tiny letters where you can barely see them. I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist. And I'm not ashamed of the historic Baptist faith. In other words, the faith of those who for millennia, for generations, for hundreds of years, who believed and practiced the Bible. The Bible. That's what's important. If I believed that some other denomination or some other non-denominational group, by the way, the non-denominational group is a denomination. It's non-denominational. The Church of Christ are denomination. They just don't. Anyway, they're all denominations. Anyway, that's a little pet peeve of mine. If there was someone out there who believed closer to the Bible than Baptists, that's what I would be. That's what I would be. And I'm going to show you in a minute, again, as a way of review, of historically why we're Baptists. We're Baptists because, again, we teach the Bible. There was a great price paid in the past for us being Baptist. And though, again, I bring up the word liberal, the liberals like to rename the Dark Ages. They renamed it the Middle Ages because they don't want to deal with what happened and don't want to teach with what really happened during the Dark Ages. And for literally from 500 AD to 1500 AD, the Catholic Church had such a stronghold on the world, on the unknown world, and literally millions and millions of people were put to death by the Catholic Church. And again, there's good people in the Catholic Church. I'm not attacking those individuals, but I am saying the Catholic Church as an institution literally martyred millions of people during the Dark Ages, and those who would stand for truth and those who would stand for the Bible and those who would stand against the Catholic Church were martyred for what they believe. I'm going to have you put up a chart on the screen. I know I don't use the screen much. We're going to try to change that in the new year. I really am. I'm going to try to do better. I know visuals do help. Number one, there's a few of these books at the back in the bookstore. This is called The Trail of Blood. This gives you a great, precise history of the Baptist faith and what the price was paid for that. And it's an easy read. It was written in like 1939 by B.H. Carroll. And it would be worth your read, I promise you. If this, it would encourage you, it would help you in your fundamental understanding of why we are a Baptist. And there's several of those. So after church, the Renzes will be back there. If you'd like to purchase one, then we'll just charge $1 for those. If you'd like to, these are nicer copies. Some church member was able to get these for us a few years back. And these are real nice copies of that. I encourage you to do that. And then also there's a good Bible dictionary or good dictionary back there. But this is the chart that's found in that, and I don't know how well you can see it, but I just want to real quickly, and I don't want this to be a history lesson. I'm going to spend 5 minutes on this, and we're going to move on. I'm going to time myself, because literally this could be the entire message. And I don't want it to be that, because it's going to be boring if I do that. It's already going to be a little boring to some of you. It's not boring to me. I love to read. I love history. But anyway, look, everybody see the pointer? Kind of. Oh, sorry, over here. Chase it. I did that to one of my sons a while ago, got put on the floor and had him chase it around. So if I was, again, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus Christ founded the church. It is Jesus Christ who built that first church, who put it in place. The church did not begin on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. It began in the Gospels. It began before Luke chapter 6. And in Luke chapter 6, he chose out of them the 12 apostles. When he chose out of them, who was the them? The them was the church, the first church that Jesus Christ established himself. All right, so that church was established. We know even from the Bible, from the epistles, we know that from the very beginning, there was always this false doctrine and things going around in the church is, right? That's why you have the epistles. Paul's addressing the false doctrine in Colossae. Paul's addressing the false doctrine in Corinth, especially Corinth. And so you had false doctrine. And then as time went on, you had false churches, right? Irregular churches. Churches that were not true to the faith, churches that were not true to the, to salvation by grace through faith and baptism as a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. And so what happened was two lines of churches developed, a false line and a true line. This same thing has happened with our Bibles, all right? There is a false line of Bibles that are corrupt, and there's a true line of Bibles that are not. All right, so the devil, what does he do? He mimics the truth. I mean, that's what he does. It's not truth, but he mimics it. So that's what he's done with the churches, and that's what he's done with our Bibles. We use the King James Bible because it's the most honest translation. And there's a whole lot more reason. But so that line in which the King James came from, we believe to be the true line. All right, so here's the false line, irregular churches coming down through. If you look down through here, you'll see baptismal regeneration. These are churches who taught that when you didn't get saved unless you were baptized, that baptism saves you from your sins. They began to baptize infants, because if you believe baptism saves you, then why wouldn't you baptize the infants, right? And so they began to baptize infants, and we see the... you going down through, this chart's a little different than the one I looked at. Constantine, and we know that the Roman Catholic Church was established here by the Roman government in that 313 AD. The Roman Catholic Church wasn't around at 0 AD or 33 AD. The Roman Catholic Church didn't start with Jesus Christ or the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter. It really was finally established, if per se, in 313, all right? And so you go down through here again. Look at this one. Infant baptism established by law. By law. What happened was, if you believed any other way, if you believed another way, that, like we believe, that you get saved by grace through faith, amen, then you were persecuted. Literally, you're thrown into lion's dens, thrown into the Colosseum to be killed in front of a great crowd. It's unbelievable what happened to many of our Christian forefathers. Indulgences started, where you paid the church to get your sins forgiven. Okay. Purgatory, which is not found in the Bible. The worship of images established in 787. And then there was a division. You may know this, some of you who've studied it, the Greek Catholics versus the Roman Catholics. And you have various things that were established in these years. Celibacy, the fathers, the preachers in the Catholic Church were not always celibate, okay? That was something that was established as time went on. I'm going to look down through here. Man, some great men of God, Wycliffe and Huss, who began to oppose the Catholic Church. And then finally, kind of Martin Luther was the catalyst of the Protestant movement to protest the Catholic Church and what they were teaching and what they were doing. And from Martin Luther, you had so many other great men. And out of that movement came the Lutheran Church, came the Presbyterian Church, the Congregationalists, other churches, the Church of England, the Methodist Church, men like John Bunyan, great men of God, who protested the Catholic Church and came out of the Catholic Church, believing that salvation was by grace through faith, that salvation was not found in the Pope, and salvation was not found in infant baptism or and whatever the case is. And so you had the Protestant Reformation in this area. But all along down here, you had the true church going. The true church was always still in existence. And so you have the Christians again at Antioch. And as you go forward, you have the, and they're not, the Montanists and this group right here, the Novatians, the Puritans, even that far back, the Donatists, the Paulicians, and the Albigenses. And the other big one was the Waldensians. All of these, and I wish this chart had it right better, but all of these were called Anabaptists. All right, all of these groups believed as we believe today. Oh, but you say, well, I heard that the Waldensians, blah, 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 that Mr. Waldensian believed he was the Holy Spirit. There is so much corruption and things that have gone on to try to discount the true church. But these individuals gave their lives for what they believe. These individuals literally burned at the stake. William Tyndale, who translated the Bible into English. This chart doesn't show it. My chart that I have, and I think in the back of this book, shows when the Catholic Church put into law that you could not have an English Bible. And so, since you couldn't have an English Bible, if you tried to translate it, then you were burned at the stake. William Tyndale, many, literally, again, hundreds of thousands and millions of people died for what they believed. And mainly the doctrine was this, that salvation was by grace through faith, and that baptism was for believers only. And the Catholic Church said, if you joined one of these nonconformist churches, if you joined one of these Anabaptist churches, then you were subject to persecution. If you, as a Catholic, were rebaptized into one of the Anabaptist churches, then you again were subject to death and burning at the stake, or stoning, or sawn asunder, or melted, filleted, stretched. All you got to do is take the Fox's Book of Martyrs. How many of y'all heard of the book of Fox's Book of Martyrs? It's a good book to remind us of the sacrifice that was made by those who believed the way you and I believe today. It's important for us to remember history and the price that was paid. So some of you may have never seen this before, and I encourage you to get the Trail of Blood. There's lots of other books that you can read. You can read on this your entire life if you wanted to and study it. But there is a false line of churches. Why would I say the Roman Catholic Church is a false line of church? Because they do not believe what the Bible teaches concerning salvation. It's very clear, very evident, and we know and we teach, the Bible teaches that salvation is by grace through faith. The Bible never teaches about a hierarchy in the churches. There is no pope found in the scriptures. There is no bishops as they use them. In other words, hierarchy. No, all the churches in the Bible, in the New Testament, were independent, autonomous, self-governing. That's what we are, independent. Autonomous, self-governing, the churches of the New Testament. I'll move on. The Trail of Blood would benefit you if you'd like to read more about it. Again, we think about Christians of today. Just this last week, we had one of our missionaries die in the Middle East, gave his life, was martyred for the faith. People in China, many other places. Let us never forget the sacrifice and heritage that we have. I'm thankful for our church's heritage, and I'm not going to go through all that. We do that on Anniversary Sunday, but God's been so good to us. So good to us. 18 acres, the buildings God's given us, but more importantly, the host of people that's been saved and baptized. And people helped, and people encouraged, and families ministered to. And I'm looking forward to the many years to come, aren't you? Our Christian heritage, what we have in Christ. I've got like 3 minutes to do this, but what we have in Christ. Number one, we are his inheritance. That's what Ephesians 1:18 says. Glory of his inheritance in the saints. You say, well, how can we be the Lord's inheritance? See, when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, we covered this a few weeks ago in the Gospel of John. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, fellowship between God and man was broken. And Wednesday night, we talked about reconciliation, that we all need to be reconciled unto God. Why? Because we are born into this world at enmity with God. We're born at war with God because we're sinners. Fellowship is broken. In order for fellowship to be restored, we must put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And Jesus Christ reconciles us to God. Jesus Christ is the one who brings God and man back together. And the point to this is, here in Ephesians 1:18, is that God desires that. God desires fellowship with you. God desires fellowship with mankind. We were created to fellowship with him, Revelation tells us. He desires it. So when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, I'm not talking about stumbled and fell and skinned his knee. I'm talking about when he sinned. God lost something too. We lost everything. When Adam fell, when Adam sinned, we lost everything. We are now subject to death, physically and spiritually. But God lost something too. God lost fellowship with mankind. And God's desire is that that be restored. That God's desire is that we be reconciled to him. And therefore, he sent his son. That in order that his son might pay the penalty for our sin, that in order that his son, Jesus Christ, might go to the cross and shed his blood on Calvary in order that we might be reconciled to him. In order that our sins might be... Sin's the problem, by the way. Sin's what gets in the way of fellowship with God. Sin must be forgiven. Our sin record must be cleared. It must be removed in order for us to have fellowship with God. And that is found and obtained through believing and trusting in Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. I hope this morning you know you're saved. I hope you've been rescued from the wrath of God that's been placed upon your sins. I hope you've been rescued from the wages of sin by Jesus Christ, by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And once you're saved, not only is he our heritage, but we become his inheritance. Fellowship is restored. Somebody put it this way. I think it was Warren Wiersbe. He said, God gets something out of salvation too. What we get defies description and comprehension. What we get is him. What he gets is us. That is unbelievable if you think about it. What we get when we get saved is him, and what he gets is us. But he desires it. He desires it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I hope this morning you've been redeemed. I hope this morning and you know that you've been reconciled unto God. And then lastly, our inheritance is waiting for us. Oh, man, verses 6 through 14 and 15. And then you look down there, it talks about the heavenly places in which Christ has been placed. Our hope, verse 17, verse 18, our hope. I'm looking forward to the day in which Christ returns, aren't you? The hope. I've been giving an inheritance now, and Paul prays that we as Christians would grow in our understanding of the benefits that we have in Christ. How many of you really, it's just a struggle when you think about your health insurance, if you have it? And you got to read, you know what? Let's do the analogy even better. Let's talk about the church's insurance that we have here at Heritage Baptist Church. And the notebook that we have is that thick. I won't tell you how much it costs. Thousands and thousands of dollars to have insurance here. Thousands. Thousands. It's mind-boggling. It's sad. I don't know everything that's in that book. Brother Wiggins is in charge of it. I don't know everything that's in that book. Brother Kevin Davis owns a business. Brother Kevin, do you know everything that's in your insurance book? Do you know it all? No. Some of you others who own businesses, it's that thick. How am I supposed to know everything? You know what happens, though? As things happen around here, we increasingly find out what's in the book. As things happen in your life, you increasingly find out what benefits you have. And I'm thankful this insurance is not like the one we have at the church. But God comes through every time. Every time. He comes through the storm. He's in there in the middle of the storm. He's there for you. That's what you inherited when you got saved. And what a thought. What a thought. Let's all stand. Hymn 167, Just As I Am. I'm thankful He takes us just as we are. If the Lord's touched your heart, you come this morning after we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the inheritance that we have in Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, as You increasingly reveal that to us, Lord, may we, Lord, be appreciative of it. Lord, we do know maybe there's some here this morning who are not saved, they've never been reconciled. Lord, may You touch their hearts. May they get saved today. May they be rescued today. May Your Holy Spirit encourage them to step out of their chair and come forward and come to this old-fashioned altar, Lord, and seek counsel. Lord, and seek that reconciliation. Lord, bless as only You can. In Jesus' name, amen.